I'm Michelle Franzen. Special counsel Robert Hur testifying before a House committee on the classified documents case of President Biden. Hur says politics played no role in his assessment about Biden's memory and age and his decision not to recommend charges, though he noted Biden willfully retained documents. ABC's political director, Rick Klein.
Both parties, frankly, are arguing that there's a double standard at play. Democrats are saying there's a double standard in only looking at Joe Biden and focusing on his age and his gaffes and not looking enough at Trump. Republicans saying there's a double standard here in charging Donald Trump for his handling of classified documents and not Joe Biden, even though they are very, very different circumstances.
TikTok could be on the chopping block here in the U.S. Lawmakers getting briefed today ahead of a vote tomorrow on whether to ban the platform due to security concerns. Consumer prices edged up in February to 3.2%, higher than what analysts projected. Just one factor the Fed board is watching as it weighs when it might start lowering interest rates. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers wants another $125 million to help Wisconsin communities hit hardest by PFAS pollution. He says he plans to veto a Republican bill with that much money for PFAS cleanup, but he also says the bill strips too much enforcement power from regulators. The state Senate today is taking up a package of bills to make life safer for Wisconsin judges and justices. Washera County's Guy Dutcher is one of dozens of Wisconsin judges who've gotten death threats.
I was sitting in my office with an officer on either side of me with a fully automatic weapon, hearing the sirens that were screaming as the officers were intercepting him, thinking I really hadn't contemplated this as being part of the job description.
Dutcher speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A Duluth hospital is going eco-friendly with its heating system. St. Luke's Hospital officials have announced that they have saved nearly $6,300 with their new heating system this January compared to the year before. A $7 million state grant helped the hospital make the change, which is more eco-friendly, cheaper, and heats the hospital more effectively. Officials say not only does it save the hospital money that can now be used elsewhere, but it creates a more comfortable environment for patients and staff.
A significant gas leak in Duluth has prompted an investigation by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. According to a Fox 21 report, there was a 1,400-gallon spill at the shortstop on East Superior Street in Duluth on Wednesday. The MPCA is looking for the cause of the spill and managing the cleanup and say there is no further risk to the public. The Duluth Fire Department responded to the spill with trucks and a hazmat team and a few public works and utility staffers. The MPCA is excavating the affected soil.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs face off again. This time it's Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell back after sliding headfirst into third base last year, requiring shoulder surgery.
It was tough. I mean, obviously not being out there every day with the team is not always the easiest, but I was able to get through it. That's kind of what I use the injury as. So it's like just kind of treating each day as a new opportunity to get a little bit better and try to get back out there.
NBA, the Bucks wrap up their West Coast trip tonight in Sacramento against the Kings. NFL, the Packers making moves in free agency. They signed Raiders running back Josh Jacobs to a four-year deal worth $48 million. On defense, they added Giants safety Xavier McKinney with a four-year contract worth $68 million, an average of $17 million per year. The Packers saying goodbye to running back Aaron Jones and left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Today, Jones agreed to a one-year deal with the Vikings worth $7 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The
The heat stays cranked up for today, too, as we spike to the mid-60s. With winds a bit breezy today, there's a high fire danger risk. Avoid burning. Otherwise, we'll be under a mix of sun and clouds as we enjoy this unseasonably warm day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tune in Tuesday to the greatest radio show ever, Devil's Advocates, will preview Joe Biden's visit to Milwaukee on Wednesday. You better tune in, Devil's Advocates, across the Civic Media Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, taking your phone calls as well. It is 6 past the hour of high noon on Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Welcome into the program, coming up at 12:30. People wait for it every week. It's highly anticipated. We keep getting multiple requests to expand the segment. But at 12:30... once again, it'll be time for Tuesday Tangents with Mr. Luke Mathers, our executive producer of Civic Media. Looking forward to that. Mr. Zommers, how are you today?
Better now that we're here on the air with everybody.
Yes, absolutely. But one of those days. It is hotter than Hades in this studio again. And thanks to Mr. Zommers, he found out at least part of the problem is that the HVAC here at the world headquarters was set to heat.
The heat was on.
Yeah, on a 70-degree day, and it was set to heat. So Todd may be shedding part of his clothing. We'll see whether we have pants on by the end of the segment.
Yeah, I think we may need to look into how it's programmed and why it keeps reverting back to heat.
You think? Welcome to Civic Media, where we lose this could be my weight loss solution right here. Just stay in the studio, I'll drop 10 pounds. So anyway,
as long as you drink water,
question for you this afternoon, my friends and neighbors. Want to start off where we started yesterday, unfortunately. Who is watching out for the students of the University of Wisconsin system? 855-752-4842. Who is watching out for the students of the University of Wisconsin system? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. Yesterday, we broke just as we came on the air, breaking news. University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Waukesha, or what most people know it as UW-Waukesha, announced it was being closed yesterday. Great story by the reporter Kelly Meyerhofer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we spent our first hour on this story. Received a lot of calls. Every time we talk about the UW system and the atrocities that are going on, we always get a lot of calls, and we appreciate that. And then I monitored several different media sources around the state yesterday, and I was struck at how little coverage this got. Because we are now at 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Richland, Washington County, Fond du Lac, Marinette, and now Waukesha. Two-year colleges being closed by the president of the University of Wisconsin system, Jay Rothman. I'm astounded at how few people care, apparently. State leaders, media people. It's just another thing. Enrollment's low. Nothing we could do. Next. Which, of course, is exactly what all the players in this want you to think. They want us to become calloused enough that it's just, you know, something that can't be avoided. Nothing else you could do. Move on. Meanwhile, students across this state, and in particular at two-year institutions, of which I was an alum or am an alum of UW-Richland, then transferred to Platteville. And let me tell you about the people who go to these two-year universities. They are, by and large, more rural than urban, but not always. They are more often than not come from families with restrictions or obstacles, hurdles when it comes to income and salary. They come from poorer parts of the state, by and large. Many non-traditional students, older students going back to get an associate or to get their four-year degree eventually. Single moms, single dads, single parents going back to school. Veterans returning from service or after they've served their 4 years here in the U.S., go back to school to fit on the GI Bill to finish up. They start at a two-year institution. Students with physical disabilities who find it easier to get around a smaller two-year school than going to a larger four-year one. These are just some of the folks that tend to go to the two-year colleges versus the four-year. And we hear a lot of talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, which I have done multiple programs defending and saying diversity, equity is important in the state of Wisconsin, in the University of Wisconsin system. But too often, folks on the Democratic side tend to focus on the ethnic, the racial part of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is an important and significant part of DEI. But what we don't talk a lot about is that DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, includes all the people I just named. Veterans, people with physical handicaps, non-traditional adults returning back to college. That's all part of DEI, which people don't like to talk about, I guess. And what is happening in this state with the closure of now 5 two-year institutions is the biggest assault on DEI we have seen yet. It makes those 36 positions that they cut back a little while ago look like nothing. Because you are taking away opportunities predominantly for rural people in this state to access to affordable higher quality of higher ed education in a public university. And this argument that, well, you know, enrollment's going down. Yes, we are seeing in our public school systems, in our private school systems, there is an ebb and flow of people having babies. And right now, there are fewer people out there. But to say that there is a dearth of students out there to be recruited is simply not true. Look at the enrollment at the tech colleges, which in the story in Killing Meyerhofer, she points out. And more importantly, let's focus on what ended up being, and I don't fault Kelly Meyerhofer, her editor probably put it here, but they basically buried the lead in here. In this story, in the update, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let me read this. Some UW-Milwaukee branch campus faculty said UWM did little to help them in the wake of restructuring. Professors said the student recruitment process prioritized the main campus, where students pay a more expensive tuition rate, at the expense of the branches, hastening enrollment declines. They also said the merger actually complicated the transfer process because classes were numbered and coded differently than what was offered in the same discipline in the main campus. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Moni disputed many of the professor's critiques. He pointed to a bachelor degree options created at the branch campuses and some upgraded facilities as ways in which UWM in, invested in its Waukesha and Washington County campuses. Which, of course, is putting lipstick on a pig when it comes to what Mone said here. We know, meaning me, I know for 100%, because I've done the research, I've done the reporting, I've done the digging in, that at the Richland campus, when their longtime recruiter retired, the local foundation, the private campus foundation with private money, went to UW-Platteville, of which they were a part, the four-year, and went to UW-System and offered $600,000 of private money to hire, with benefits, a dedicated recruiter for UW-Richland. And Platteville and Jay Rothman said no. And they have yet, as have the elected officials in that area, Mark Line and Kurtz, have yet to explain why Platteville and System said no to a $600,000 gift for recruitment. We know for a fact that at a job fair at the Eau Claire School District, or not a job fair, education fair, pardon me, where multiple universities are invited in, they set up tables and then, you know, students go around to get brochures and talk about it, say, hey, where do I want to go, or if I want to go on after high school? The Platteville campus was there in the Eau Claire Public School District for a education fair and didn't even have the brochures on the table for the two-year campuses at Richland and Baraboo, only for Platteville. And it appears the same thing has been going on down at Milwaukee. And my guess is it's been repeated at every four-year institution. There has been an asserted effort to kill the two-year colleges. And nobody in this state seems to care. Governor Evers is silent, the education governor. And this argument about, well, nothing else he could do. Actually, there is. Ask the state legislature to do an audit. There is an audit committee. It used to be chaired by Rob Coles, Republican, longtime chairman, who always played it down the middle. And because he didn't play politics with the audit committee, he was removed by Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu. If I were Governor Evers, I would demand the legislature call on them to do a full audit of the UW system. Doesn't it seem funny to anyone that with all these cuts of the 2 years, taking away opportunities to rural students, no one wants to question what's going on at system? How many $250,000 a year plum jobs on the 17th floor of Van Nuys, where the system is located in the president's office, how many of those positions have been cut? How many system-wide positions have been cut? Why is all the pain being taken on students predominantly from rural areas of the state? Why is it that the most affordable, accessible education in this state and the two-year colleges are being cut, and they're being told, well, you can get the same thing at Madison or Milwaukee? I wonder if those people have checked the rents for student housing lately in Richland Center compared to Madison, in Washington County compared to downtown Milwaukee. And so when a parent decides to send their kid to a four-year at a large city versus a small, something has to give. Who is standing up for the students of this state? 855-752-8442. Pardon me, 855-752-4842. We'll get the number right back after this.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabba, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Lake Eric, 1260 AM, 107.5 FM, WLAK.
Lake Eric, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for a Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Coming up at 12:30 or just thereafter, the one, the only, Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. We'll cover news, we'll cover sports, and find out what's grinding Lukester's gears. Tuesday Tangents with Luke after our news update at the bottom of the hour. Right now, talking about this top story, or what should be the top story in the state of Wisconsin today. Jay Rothman, president of the interview system, has closed a fifth two-year college in the state, UW-Waukesha at Milwaukee, or Milwaukee at Waukesha, I guess they call it now. My question is, who is watching out for the students of this state when it comes to higher education? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Here's the other part. Besides, and again, I'm a little salty about this attitude of, well, there's nothing that can be done. This is just the way it is. It's not. The reason, in large part, that enrollment is down is because we know for a fact that at least at some of these 2 years, the four-year campuses have all but abandoned recruiting. Let me tell you how this worked. And again, I grew up at Richland Center. I went to the Richland campus. My grandmother was dean there. She was the first woman dean in the state of Wisconsin. This is how I know these things personally, okay? It used to be that every 13, all the 13 2 years had a dedicated dean ahead of the 2 year. What did that individual do? Not only did they oversee the administration of that campus, they were also the public face. They went to the Lions Club. They were part of the Rotary. You would see them at the local church if they were a person of faith. They would join other local clubs. If they had a spouse, they were part of the community. If they have kids, they went to public schools. The dean was the face, the cheerleader for that campus, and all 13 of them. All 13 used to have their own individual recruiters that went out to all these little job fairs on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock and would sit at a table, or better yet, stand and talk to kids from little teeny tiny towns and say, what are you interested in? Hey, here's how this campus might fit into you. Here's how we can help you afford it. The deans now, under what Ray Cross, who did a terrible job as president of the system, and we've had Kathy Sandine, the last chancellor of the 2 years, on this show. She presented a plan in 2017-18, which would have saved all of the 2 years, still adjusted for lower enrollments at some places and done more online, but kept them all open. Ray Cross killed that. And instead, he just threw the 2 years to the wolves and forced them on the chancellors of the 4 years. And then he had one person as dean over two or three different campuses. And instead of having a dedicated recruiter for each of the 13 college campuses, you might have one. Or in some cases, the recruiter was simply at the four-year, who was told by the four-year chancellor and or administration, recruit for the four-year because it brings us more money. And by the way, have you noticed the uptick, particularly at the 4 years? We've talked about this before, of the number of foreign students there. And believe me, I mean, you've heard me talk this program before, how a foreign student program has changed my life. I'm all for it, all right? But the reason we have so many more foreign students, particularly at Madison and Milwaukee and other places, is because they pay a higher rate of tuition, markedly so. And because the university system is being underfunded by the Republican legislature, they are forced to get more foreign students to put more money in the bank, which means fewer opportunities for Wisconsin kids and returning adults. These are the truth. These are the facts of why this thing is dying on the vine. And then you have people saying, well, you know, it's just the way it is. Too bad, isn't it? Oh, I feel so bad, but that's the way it is. That's bullcrap. It's horse crap. The fact is, nobody wants to ask the tough questions and actually get to the truth. Here's Kelly Meyerhofer doing a good job getting that way. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, she writes this today. The technical college enrollment has trended slightly downward over the past 8 years, especially during the pandemic, though it has not experienced anywhere near the drop of UW-Milwaukee-Waukesha. Here's the kicker. Like other technical colleges, WCTC receives local property taxes in addition to tuition revenue and state funding. The state technical college system is one of the best funded in the country, according to a report by the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum last year. Meanwhile, the University of Wisconsin system ranked in the bottom 10 states for per pupil funding. Oh, but you know, it's just enrollment's down. Nothing we can do. Look, I am proud of our tech college system in the state. And I am glad that property taxpayers in particular have voted in their technical college districts across this state that education is important. And they have voted for funding for their technical schools. I'm happy and proud of that. Happy for and proud of. And I will guarantee you that if there had been a public referendum in the Richland community on the Richland campus to keep it open, it would have passed with 70% of the vote. I'll guarantee it. Why? Because there are people in that community that had Biden and Trump signs in their yard during election time that also put signs in their yard that said, save our campus. It is a great bipartisan issue. Higher education, period, of the state. So for all those people that say, well, what can the governor do? What can Democrats do? What can anybody do? What can Republicans do? You can start by funding it equal to our tech college system in the state and get us out of the bottom 10. Then you can call for an audit top to bottom on the UW system. Find out where the money is really at. By the way, they have over $1 billion with a B in reserve in just the UW system. And how about the $4 billion sitting in the state coffers? You could also ask them why they're not recruiting more. You know, when Tommy Thompson was governor, he was trying to recruit Motorola from Chicago to Wisconsin. And he actually had staff stake out when Motorola came to look at the facilities, stake them out with binoculars and report back to the governor via phone what was going on. Governor wanted to know. If I were Tony Evers, I would have Jay Rothman in my office before sundown and say, I want to know what all your 4 years are doing to recruit at the 2 years. And then I'm going to tell two of my low-level staffers, they're going to show up at high school education fairs across this state unannounced, and we're going to check to see if you're really recruiting for the 2 years. See, if you're creative, you can actually do things. The governor has a huge bully pulpit, and it's time that he uses it. I'm a believer in Governor Evers. I'm glad he's our governor. If it wasn't for Governor Evers, you would have terrible things pass. We'd become politically the Texas or Florida. But who's standing up for the students of this state? We need to have a real discussion on that. We'll come back with that and much, much more. Our friend Luke Mathers on the other side. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke on the All Ball Show. This is the Civic Media Ready Network.
Listen to the Earl Ingram Show Wednesday at 9 a.m. I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizenite.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Soybeans are rallying midday on a Tuesday, and it all comes back to the details in the latest World Agricultural Production Report from USDA. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing tells us what's changed that's influencing today's soybean trade.
They went into Chinese soybean demand and soybean usage, and they made adjustments based on some of the just flow of soybeans through China over the past handful of years. They actually went back to 2020, adjusted soybean meal usage, crush usage, things of that nature. That trickles into the balance sheets for the global side of it. And then on top of that, they bumped export expectations for China in terms of purchases up to 105 million metric tons. You know, that's a 2 million metric ton raise. So we had a market that was sitting on a near record short position in terms of the fund selling. Here comes some positive news about the number one buyer of soybeans in the world, and the market just reacted accordingly.
John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend says one question remains: how far this can go. We'll take a look at today's prices from Chicago next.
Nobody likes driving on a rough road. Hitting potholes is hard on your body. The bumpy terrain is hard on your vehicle and your farm equipment. Today, you can take action to improve your rural roads. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to make commuting and farming easier on you. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
And today I'm calling out folks in Grant County to the south and Menominee County to the north to sign up to be weather observers with the National Weather Service. These are areas that we're trying to focus in on to grow the number of rainfall reporters in the state. Again, I'm calling on you in Grant and Menominee counties to visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org to become a citizen scientist. And now let's take a look at our markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading up a quarter of a cent at 442 a bushel. December new crop corn is sitting neutral at 472 and three quarters. Cash beans are up 9¾ cents at 1189 a bushel. And November new crop beans are up 8¾ cents at 1181 and a half. The April Class 3 milk contract is trading down 4 cents at 1588 a hundredweight. The May contract is down a penny at 1633. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The heat stays cranked up for today, too, as we spike to the mid-60s. With winds a bit breezy today, there's a high fire danger risk. Avoid burning. Otherwise, we'll be under a mix of sun and clouds as we enjoy this unseasonably warm day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You've waited for it all week. 7 days in nervous anticipation. And now at 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on a Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, time once again for our weekly visit from our friend Luke Mathers in Tuesday Tangents with Luke.
Folks, there's better stuff out there. Please do not wait all week for this appearance. I was
in dinner with friends on Saturday, and they said their two favorite days of the week were Wednesday with Trivi Olsen and Tuesdays with Luke Mathers.
By far, the first one listed there first for a reason.
I there was no particular order, you understand? I'm just saying.
I don't know about that. If there's no particular order, I feel like you go Tuesday, then Wednesday, because that's just the order
they
of the
said,
week.
They said, really, it was all about Luke.
Trigby does an excellent job.
He does, and, yeah. You both do.
Thank you.
We appreciate you stopping by. So before we get to the grinding of the gears for a Tuesday, spent the first half hour kind of where we did the first hour yesterday. Thanks to you, by the way. Thank you for being on top of that and giving us a heads up yesterday.
I had a feeling that it would strike a chord with you and your audience.
It did. And we have some great texts, by the way. RC and McFarland listening to WMDX says, Todd, spot on. I follow all sorts of different news outlets. You're the only one talking about this problem closing two-year colleges. Says, I went to MATC back in the 90s. My son went to MATC and is now a nurse. My daughter went to the college at Green Bay, NWTC, and is now a teacher. We need to keep these colleges open. Keep holding people's feet to the fire for answers. Thanks, RC. Thank you, RC. We appreciate you listening in, McFarland. Look, one of the things that I've been focusing on this morning, because, you know, we're hearing from, you know, people, and I was struck by how little coverage this got among statewide media yesterday. This is the fifth.
Mr. Zomer's being like, I can barely find this story that you're pointing out for me. And I was like, it's only going to get a top story because original reporting that I found over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And then I pointed you towards it. And when Mr. Zomer's was going to look for it, he was like, it's not even a top story on the website. How is this not at the top? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, but
thanks to you and us, we got it. We've been leading with it the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. 2 points like your opinion on, and this is from Kelly Meyerhofer's story, updated story today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She points out that a professor there, obviously who didn't want to go on the record, said that the student recruitment process prioritized the main campus where students pay a more expensive tuition rate than at the expense of branch campuses, hastening enrollment declines. We know that was also true. We know it for a fact, our own reporting at UW Richland, where the private foundation offered $600,000 to hire their own recruiter and were denied by Platteville and by Jay Rothman at System. So that's one of the factors, that if this is being repeated at all the 4 years that they're literally not recruiting, no wonder people don't know about it as much or aren't going there. And number two, in Meyerhofer's story, she points out that our tech college system, which I'm all for, is, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, one of the top-funded tech college systems in the country. Meanwhile, UW System ranks in the bottom 10 states per pupil funding.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's a lot there to unpack. Obviously, there's a lot to unpack with this story as a whole. Pardon me. But for the better part of the last decade and a half, one political party here in Wisconsin has made education, and higher education specifically, well, Act 10, lower K through 12 as well. So not necessarily higher education, I guess, specifically, but education as a whole has been a political punching bag. And the amount of state funding for our system has just gone down over that time, because the Republicans here, elected officials for the Republican Party in Wisconsin since 2010, has used education as a divide and conquer tactic.
Yes.
As a political punching bag, where they're going to score points. They're going to beat up on the big union bosses. You don't want to be like those liberal cities like Madison and Milwaukee, where two of the larger universities are. And so they're used as political punching bags and defunded. We saw a whole scenario unfold this budget cycle where the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, held raises. All state employees supposed to be getting raises from this most recent budget. We have a record surplus.
Yep.
And he played political games and waited for the universities of Wisconsin to defund their DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, withholding those raises until they did so. And so they've been very explicit with their priorities. They've defunded the UW system. They haven't kept up with state aid to the system. And so it's not a surprise that you see these universities then saying, okay, well, where can we... They also froze tuition for more than a decade. Mm. And so when you have all of that perfect storm come together of it being a political punching bag and the situation around enrollment in rural areas versus urban areas, all of those different things, you then have these universities saying, okay, well, we need to go and we need to take out-of-state students. We need to take international students. Mm-hmm. We need to have more people that we can raise tuition on come to our schools to be able to fund what we're doing. And so I think the biggest thing that we need to hear in the state is we need a state house that represents the state of Wisconsin, because Wisconsinites support public education. They do. We've seen it time and time again where these referendums are going out in communities and communities are saying, yes, we want to pay for our schools. Yes, we want, as you pointed out earlier in the hour, if Richland County had a referendum on whether or not to keep UW-Richland open, it would have passed.
Yeah,
by 2-1, more than 2-1.
Yeah, I would say 70%, conservatively.
Well, 2-1 would be 67%.
I don't do math.
It's all good. But it's like... It's crazily supported, and we have a legislator that has just used this issue as a punching bag and not kept up with state funding for these systems. And so that is why we see where we are today.
855-752-4842. Bill listening in Oconomowoc. Bill, thanks for calling. What say you?
You know, on this education problem, and your partner there brought it to light. Divide and conquer. That was Scotty's motto. Mm-hmm. And this is what Scotty's motto cost the state of Wisconsin. This is what happens when you get a far-right extremist governor that guts our education, that takes it from the top almost to the bottom. But the only way we can win this all back is, number one, putting the badge on Scotty and saying, you caused this. We are going to take your plan and roll it back so we can be back to being number one or number two in education in the country, not the problem. Now, he doesn't mind funding private schools through taxpayer dollars. That's fine with him because many of those private schools teach his mantra. That's what he promotes. But they don't like to promote public education at all. It's detrimental to their agenda, but we've got to educate the public to it. And thanks for the job you guys do. You really bring it to light. Keep it up. Have a good one.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it. Bill Oconomowoc, if you want to join us, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
And if you want to remember that one easy, it's 855-75-CIVIC.
Thank you.
It's a nice one. I like that. Did you
come up with that?
No. That wasn't me. But
that was very good.
Yeah, it's very, very catchy. Good. It's a catchy new phone number.
Yeah, it is.
I love it. I think this is the first time I'm...
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Say it again. Say it again, Luke.
855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah, print that, Mrs. Omers. We'll just play that over and over. I love it. That's fantastic. Jack and Merrimack texting in on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. Says, quote, this is just more mega legislators following Trump's lead, or as he said, quote, I love the poorly educated, unquote. That's because while good education doesn't guarantee critical thinking skills, it improves the ability to think critically, unquote. Thanks, Jack from Merrimack. Luke, I think we're in agreement, and I agree with Bill, that, I mean, I was in the building, as we say, the state capitol, when Scott Walker enacted the terrible, and Republicans, the terrible Act 10 on public education and public workers. I also would agree that Republicans have had a war on education at all levels. I personally, having used to belong to the party left in 2011, that they don't want people really, they don't want critical skills, to Jack's point. They don't want to have critical thinking because that kind of gets at their political values, I guess. I would say that 85 to 90% of why we're here is because of Republicans. What I don't understand, to Bill's point, is why don't we have the governor? Why don't we have Democratic leaders standing up and calling this out and saying, look, we have to put more money into higher education. We have to fund them better. We have to have as I said in the first half hour, do an analysis of UW system.
Every single one of the budgets that Tony Evers put forth had more money than what was passed by the Republican legislature for education in this state. So I don't know to what extent, like, every single budget that Evers put forth, he being the former secretary for the
superintendent.
Superintendent, yeah. Thank you. For DPI here in Wisconsin. He billed himself and he ran in 2018 for the first time as the education governor. And I mean, he put those priorities forth in a budget, and they were left on the cutting room floor time and time again by Republican lawmakers here in Madison. So I wish that there was more. I think he could be more vocal. Absolutely. Mm. I don't see what else could it, like, there are only 24 hours in the day, Todd. And Tony Evers, I feel like, has been playing a pretty good hand with the divided government that he's had. Like, they passed a lame duck legislation to remove a lot of his ability before he even took the oath of office in 2019. Mm. He has been prioritizing many, many different issues for the state of the Wisconsin. I don't think that, as you say, that he's doing necessarily as much as he possibly could be, but he got shared revenue done. Mm. Like, that was a very, very large core piece of what the Evers administration was working on this past year plus. And I'm sorry, if you have to prioritize one over the other, say you're only going to be able to get one through, which one do you pick? Higher education or shared revenue?
I think you could do both. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're Jim Doyle, a Democrat, or Tommy Thompson, a Republican. I mean, when they had a majority of regents on the Board of Regents like Tony Evers did, they did what the governor wanted.
Tony Evers got his majority on the board for like a split second because Republicans in the state Senate refused regents.
Right,
like, he didn't have control over many of these different governing bodies for most of his first term and then barely even into his second term. Wisconsinites gave him a landslide by reelecting him by 3.5 percentage points, and Republicans still didn't get the memo saying, hey, we like Tony Evers as our governor and we want him to be our guy. And so, like, yes, I think it's important to be critical, but at the same time, I think this is like 95% at the foot of Republicans over the last decade and a half, and maybe about 5% saying the Evers administration
could
do a little bit
over
more.
5%. I said 90. You said 95.
You said, you started with 85. You said no more math on the radio.
I'm pragmatic. 855-752-4842. Matt, listening in Middleton. Matt, quickly, go ahead. Matt, go ahead, please.
Oh, hey, guys. I wanted to play devil's advocate for a minute.
We don't do that on this show. That's later on. But go ahead.
Well, earlier than usual, right? I just wanted to mention that I find the lack of imagination in government in general kind of disturbing. The internet has changed the world in so many ways, and education is a big one. Elon Musk at Tesla no longer hires based on a piece of paper. It's what you've done and what you're capable of. And I went to MATC here in Madison for the arts, and I worked in video games for a while. And while I did that for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I saw the internet and online tutorials and learning became so easy that learning the arts was no longer necessary in schools at all, technically. Mm-hmm. And yet in high schools and other places, they're still trying to teach these art programs, which I think is a waste of time. But that's just my opinion. I would put that effort in other areas. So I'm just wondering if there's a way to use your imagination and still provide these trade learnings and these teachings that people need, but not have so many expensive facilities. I lived in Texas for 10 years and they had certificate programs through Texas A&M. It's a 12-week course. You get a piece of paper, you can work for the utilities or whatever the trade is. I just think that there's other things we could do than having all of these big expensive facilities. And that's just my thought.
Thanks, Matt. Luke.
I appreciate that, Matt. I don't know. I think more funding for the arts would be better. You can't really teach the violin over, like, you could take online lessons, but there's not the same as learning an instrument in an orchestra or a band or anything like that. Like, I think it's very important to be funding the arts. So I'm gonna push back a little bit on that one.
I concur that arts funding is critical and essential. I would also say the two biggest things I got out of liberal arts education were my professors who challenged me with my fellow students. And the people I met from foreign countries.
No critical learning. No right. Critical thoughts. Stop it.
Back with more after this with Luke Mathers. It's Tuesday. Tangents with Luke. Zomer's on the board. Luke here. This is All Ball. Back after this.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Let the dogs out!
Hoot, hoot, hoot!
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. The answer is Jay Rothman. He let the dogs out and is closing campuses. We're here with Luke Mathers on Tuesday Tangents with Luke. I'm not even sure what that means, but anyway, it's sounding good in my head. Luke Mathers, what's
segue back into things. There
what's grinding your gears on a Tuesday?
Oh, man.
Speaking of dogs.
Yeah, speaking of dogs. Oh, she's adorable. But, you know, it's not great having two dogs feeding off of you, because like one dog that's a puppy and the other elderly dog, they instigate off of each other, man. And it is an interest. Like, I was expected for, you know, waking up, cleaning up a little bit more pee than normal, all those things with the puppy. But like my Remy, our first dog, he's eight. He's well-trained, very well-behaved, but boy, does he just like kind of throw a lot of his training out the window because he sees the puppy getting away with everything. 12:30 last night, just quiet house. Everybody's asleep.
Yeah, chilling.
Just Remy just lost his mind for whatever reason, started barking. and then all of a sudden the puppy's crying in the kennel. And then I'm letting one out the back door, one out the front door so that they can kind of still take care of the business because they distract each other when they're going to the bathroom. So like if you let them out at the same time, there's no actual like potty time happening at that point. It's just one jumping on the other or one sniffing the other. I'm a little bit low on sleep because I get an unexpected 12:30 wake up call from my normally very well behaved dog, but then the puppy, and then nobody could fall back.
In the words of the immortal Ralph the dog from the original Muppet movie, who once said, "Ah, that's why I live alone. I come home, have a beer, take myself for a walk, and go to bed."
Oh, don't even get me started on the walks.
Only thing grinding your gears?
No.
What else is grinding your gears?
You got anything grinding your gears?
Life.
Okay. That's what the whole Todd Alba show is here for.
Exactly. The whole show grinds my gears.
Have you been keeping an eye on NFL free agency?
Yes. Bakhtiari, or it's gone.
Bakhtiari?
Yeah, that guy. Sad Aaron Jones, the heart and soul of the Packers, going to the Vikes.
That's the one that's grinding my gears in the sports world. Yeah. Not fun.
No.
So
did Goody do the right thing by letting him go a year early than a year late?
Yes. I think.
Because that's the debate.
I think Aaron Jones, the fuel that Aaron Jones and the leadership that he provided in the locker room last year, the Green Bay Packers would not have had the season that they had last season without Aaron Jones 100%. In that locker room. And so, knowing that, like, you had Romeo Doubs, young wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
Romeo.
We're out there, Romeo, in the end zone. Romeo. I chant that one when he scores, and then Kelsey kind of rolls her eyes at me. I'm a very, very energetic fan. You can't really watch sports games with me if you're just want to sit there quietly and watch the game. That's not typically
you're in it.
I'm very invested in all of my Wisconsin sports teams. But Romeo Doubs last season was, I forget the exact quote, but to paraphrase him, was like, "I will run through a wall and then explicitives for Aaron Jones." And so like the core of the locker room leaving on a deal, and it sounds like it was over $1 million.
Yeah,
like that's a lot of money. But asking him to take another hometown discount by the team that drafted him to stick around in Green Bay. I mean, he only signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see where he goes after that, if he stays in Minnesota or if circumstances change. I think it's going to be really exciting to still watch him play football. Like, I'm going to kind of put the blinders on and not focus on the fact that he's a Viking. But I want to see Aaron
Jones.
Until he
runs for 200 yards for against us.
Yeah. Yeah. It could happen. Yeah. So hopefully that's not the case for those 2 weeks that the Vikings and the Packers are playing each other next fall. I won't be a huge Aaron Jones fan, but every time it's the same Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
I love me some Drew Holiday. One of my favorite Buck.
I know.
For the last 2 years before this season, while he was a Buck. But I love Drew Holiday. I love what he's doing for the Boston Celtics. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. And it's like when we played against the two matchups, we got one coming next Wednesday too for the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. Yes. But every time that matchup, obviously I kind of, my loyalty is still more to Giannis, the entire team in Milwaukee. But like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah. But kind of like like very quietly, softly, like, yeah.
Kind of like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
That's Drew, yeah.
His former lover, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey.
This is
so
why
I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players. Yeah,
this is why you don't buy those kind of jerseys. I have a Uecker jersey. That's never going out of style.
My Jonathan Lucroy jersey, I still am happy to wear to Milwaukee Brewers games because I think that was the last one that I bought. I don't think I have a more recent one than that, but I do have plenty of like the no-name jerseys as well. So it's just the Brewers jersey with no names on the background or on the back. But like, I'll happily wear that Aaron Jones jersey still. Like, I will happily wear my Drew Holiday jersey. Exactly. So I don't have a problem buying those jerseys. I just, it's really tough. I think it's important in this age of like the sports industrial complex that we live in, of all the different betting that goes on to it now, but the hyper awareness of all sports going on at all times that our society has. I think it's very important to support players when you fall in love with those players. And both Drew Holiday and Aaron Jones were players that I fell in love with, and I went and got their jerseys. And so I will always support them, just not to a very strong extent when they're playing my teams.
Speed round at Luke Mathers here on a Tuesday. The Big Ten men's basketball tournament gets underway tomorrow. Wisconsin Badgers play on Thursday across select stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. We hope one of yours is selected at 12:30. They'll take on the winner of Maryland Penn State. Do the Badgers win more than one game in the Big Ten tournament? I ask you, Luke Mathers.
More than one?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You think they win one?
I think they win one. I think they win on Thursday and they lose on Friday.
I think they play
Northwestern on Friday
if they go. That's going to be a tough game.
I think so.
I'm going to say they win two.
All right.
I'm going to say they beat either Maryland or...
Are we doing the standard wager that you and
no,
I have?
No, because I always lose. I always lose. So I say they beat two. President Joe Biden in Milwaukee at the Pfister Hotel. You gave me some inside information about ghosts. What's going on with the ghost of the Pfister?
I think it'll be interesting to see if the president experiences any outside of this world or mortal plane experiences. That's all. There's been normally most professional sports teams, when they travel to Milwaukee and they're playing the Brewers or the Bucks, they stay in the Pfister. And there have been multiple accounts of athletes just being like, I will not stay at the team hotel tonight. Like, I'm not doing it.
Have you stayed at the Pfister?
I have not.
I have.
I have not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for years ago.
Did you get the presidential suite?
No, are you kidding me?
Come on.
No,
why not? Live a little.
I can't afford the presidential suite. Luke Mathers, you're fantastic. Every Tuesday is Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Back with Hour 2 after this. Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, typical. That's why I...
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hi, it's Maggie Dawn. Tuesday on my show, I'm going to be talking about Representative Nancy Mace. What a disgrace!
Matt Nair on air.
Oh,
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Seattle-based Boeing facing headwinds over quality control issues and now questions about an apparent suicide of a Boeing